I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with my good friend, John Drennan. We've been Lions fans since the late 50s and early 60s. And we started this podcast so that we could take the trip with all of you to the Lions finally getting to the Super Bowl. We hoped it was going to be this past year, but we're still confident that in the next year or so, we're going to have the team that can do it. So today we're going to talk about a few things. And the lead story, John, is really the situation with Frank Ragnow. As we know, he initially retired, then he tried to come back, and he was declared medically unfit by the Lions. And now we hear a story from Rod Wood that the Lions are trying to get back a portion of his signing bonus because he didn't fulfill the all the years in his contract. And you and I talked beforehand, and we both think this is just a really bad look for the Lions. They seem selfish, especially with a guy that gave his heart and soul to the team for so many years and really gave his body to the team. And now he'll bear those scars the rest of his life. And they're asking him to give back money. And it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for recruiting other free agents to come to the Lions. And I wonder what you thought of it.
Well, first, I totally agree. It's a really bad look. Hey, before I go there, when you opened and said we've been fans since the 50s and 60s, I had this mental image of listeners starting to calculate how old are these guys?
Well, I'm old and you're older.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, and you and I discussed a little bit, you know, this same thing had happened with Barry Sanders and then later Calvin Johnson. But you made a great point that there is a difference. Barry Sanders retired healthy. I mean, he was kind of in his prime and could have played. Calvin Johnson, similar. He had had injuries, but not like Frank Ragnow, who had a ruptured throat and a toe that wasn't fixable. And I mean, that guy was an absolute warrior and tried to come back last year and just couldn't. And so I agree that, and the way it works on the business side, Bill, they get this money in advance with the idea they will earn the money as they play out the years that they were paid for. So I get that if you don't fulfill the contract, owing the money back's not a bad thing. That's a normal thing in business. But this is a different business. You know, in Frank Ragnow's case, he was pretty much forced to retire. And so for an organization as wealthy and as stable and as reputable as the Lions, it's a bad look. But you and I also agreed Rod Wood, who's the outgoing president, they're finding his replacement. He's just got to be quiet because he actually brought this up because a question got asked. And one other thing on this, Bill, a lot of people might say, well, they're doing the same thing with Taylor Decker. Not at all. Completely different story. The Decker situation is one of him apparently not being satisfied with the communication, particularly from Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. But it has nothing to do with being asked to give back advance bonuses. And so it's a totally different issue. And one more thing I'll say about it, you know, this is all stuff that's out there in the wind, but you and I and most people who are even making claims and writing stuff weren't in the meetings, don't really know what's going on. Lots of hearsay. So that's the world we live in.
Well, the other thing that just information for our listeners is the NFL is different than all the other major sports leagues in that if you play baseball or basketball or hockey and you sign a contract, you get paid even if the team cuts you. You get paid for the length of the contract. So if you sign a contract for 5 years, as long as you don't quit, you get all 5 years of the money. And in the NFL, if you sign a contract for 5 years and you play two, and they decide they don't want you anymore, they don't have to pay you the last three,
Now, I
which
do
is
think.
why
Go ahead.
players get signing bonuses, and that's guaranteed money. So a
Right.
lot of times you'll hear a contract has been signed, they'll say, so and so got 4 years, $100 million, $60 million guaranteed.
Right.
Which means if they cut him the first year, he still gets $60 million.
Yeah, so an example of that is oh my gosh, Kirk Cousins.
Right.
He got a huge contract with most or a huge amount guaranteed from the Falcons. And now they've let him go. So they have to keep paying him. And so he could go to some team, let's say the Steelers, and literally play for free, which he won't do, but he could, and still make a ton of money this year. So,
Right, because they have to pay him because they cut him. They
yeah.
have to pay him the signing bonus. If he didn't have his contract arranged so that it was a signing bonus, they wouldn't have to pay him anything.
Yeah, so that amount for him was guaranteed. So,
And in other
yeah, so.
sports, it's all guaranteed as long as you don't quit.
Right. Well, Bill, other stories. I mean, that one's been out there a lot. Another one's been the interview Dan Campbell had while at the team meetings out in Arizona. And I think these are important things. Two things he said, he implied they're going to move Penei Sewell to left tackle, or at least that's totally on the table. And I know. I don't know if I've done it on this podcast so much, but my own head kind of pushed against that because of the stability of him at right tackle and having spent a year with Ratledge at right guard side by side. But I think it opens up the door for a couple things if he went to left tackle. One, the potential of Larry Borum starting at right tackle, which is Borum's a new free agent. And some people think he'd be solid, or he might start ahead of a rookie as they get draft a right tackle and get that right tackle up to speed. And Bill, there are more right tackles available in the draft than left tackle, and they can probably get a good one at their 50th pick. So they might be thinking move Penei to left tackle, let Borum potentially start and recruit or draft a guy that could eventually take over. That's
John, why
one
don't you
thing.
explain to our listeners why left tackle is considered usually more important than right tackle?
Well, left tackle in terms of protecting the passer, especially a right-hand passer like Goff, because basically the way a right-hand thrower sets up, he's blind to the left side. And you got to keep those left or the rusher that comes in from the right side coming to the left side of the quarterback. Got to keep him off the quarterback.
Right.
That's huge. Here's what I like: studs at both tackles.
Yeah.
And by the
Absolutely. Well,
way,
we have
Bill.
one at right tackle for sure.
Yeah, and by the way, Bill, Penei Sewell did play left tackle in college.
Well, that all changes if you have a left-handed quarterback.
Yes, it does. It goes opposite. So, and we don't have one in sight. So,
No.
the other bit of news from the Dan Campbell interview is talking about the joint practices, which I know he's always talked of really being in favor of those. This last year, they had joint practices with the Dolphins and the Texans. And the idea is you got referees there and you're playing real competition and it's more game-like than anything you can create in practice without that. But in the interview, he said he doesn't think they got as much value as they want, and they won't be doing it this year. And also implied, I can't say this was from the interview, but it's out there that the Lions will likely play their starters in preseason games at least a series or two for a couple of games. And that makes sense given how awful they were against Green Bay in the opener this year.
Right. Well, also, you had mentioned to me before we started our podcast that they might slow down on some of the full pads hitting in the practices in preseason.
Yeah, I think that was implied. And again, I didn't hear the whole interview. I'm basing a lot of this. I do listen to other podcasters and read stories and stuff, but that just kind of makes sense. They not eliminate the full pads, hard hitting, but maybe cut back a little bit. Although, Bill, I do think most of their injuries have occurred not in practice, but in games. But practice does wear on the body, so.
Right. And soon enough, the NFL is going to 18 games. So you have 18 games, however many preseason games they come up with. That's a lot of wear and tear on the body. And then if you make the playoffs, you're looking at hopefully another three at least, including the Super Bowl. If you win the If you get the bye, then you've got two games to win to get to the Super Bowl. If you don't get the bye, you've got three. So you're looking at possibly 22 games.
Yeah, and Bill, if you're the league, you look at what a big payday those games are. If you're a player, you're like, seriously? And so I think for sure they would drop one of the preseason games. Right now there's three. It would take it to two. I wonder if they would even take it to one. And I also wonder if they would do things like allow teams to expand their roster and open it up for more players to be involved. Because you're right, it's brutal. And for anyone that hears this and thinks, oh, come on, they only play once a week and they get a bye week. And no, this is the NFL. This is modern day gladiator warfare. And as you and I have said, we wouldn't last one play when we were in our prime.
Right. Well, just think about how big and strong these, I mean, you're looking at some of these guys weigh 300 pounds and they're running sub 5 40 yard dashes, and they're hitting you with ill intent. I mean, that's a car crash.
No, it totally is, Bill. And the thing is, over the years, the players, because of training and nutrition and equipment and methodologies, et cetera, that they are bigger, they are stronger, they are faster, they are quicker, and quickness and speed are two different things. And the game is the most brutal. Now, you can go back and watch clips from the 50s and 60s and Dick Butkus and when they didn't have face masks. And in some ways, it was more brutal because they got away with stuff and they didn't have all the rules. So pure brutality was worse in the 50s and 60s. But pure physical potential right now, the physics of it is off the charts.
Yeah. And the more games you play, the more opportunity there is for one of these big guys to fall sideways on your leg while you're trying to block another guy, and then there goes your knee.
Yeah.
And we
All right.
lost
Well,
Aiden Hutchinson, not last season, the season before, on a really a freak play. And that seriously affected our defense for the rest of the year, even though the team was 15-2. So injuries are always going to be part of it, and a longer season creates more opportunity. And I think you're right, they need a bigger roster.
well, speaking of rosters, Bill, I went through the most current finding I could of the Lions, what I would call the active roster right now, and there's 68 players on it. That doesn't include like injured reserve, but I'm reading through these names, and 13 of them are new free agents, meaning they were not part of the roster last year. And of course, some we've lost to free agency and trades as well, but we've added 13. But I was going through the roster, and I have this question for myself and for listeners. I'm curious to see what becomes of Dan Jackson. He was a late round draft pick last year out of Georgia. He's a safety, but didn't really play this year because of injury. But they were pretty high on him as a pick. That's one. Secondly, is Giovanni Manu. Of course, he was picked 2 years ago because he's a physical beast, 6'7", about 355, but never played major college, had a lot of development, slow to develop in his first year. Last year, he got to start a game and back up another game. Didn't do great, got hurt. But he was drafted clearly as a project. But this year, if he doesn't perform, I don't see him being back next year. Third one, Jackson Meeks. You remember that name?
Yes.
We talked about him a lot in July. He looked really good in the preseason. He's a big, strong wide receiver from Syracuse, and he got hurt. Next one is Ennis Rakestraw. People are used to hearing that name. He drafted 2 years ago. They were very high on him as a cornerback out of Missouri. Got hurt in the first year, hardly played. Got hurt last year, didn't play. But apparently, the reports are he looks really good physically. He's ready to go this year. Be so nice to be able to see his potential. I got two more. You remember Nick Whiteside?
Yes.
I believe he played at Saginaw Valley or one of the Michigan smaller colleges.
Is he on the practice squad?
He was, but he was called up a few times when they were low on backs. In fact, you remember the Tampa Bay game where they played all the patchwork D backs? He was one of them, and they rocked. I mean, they shut Tampa Bay down, and they're high on him. And everything I've seen from him preseason and regular season, he could be a starter in this league as a, I think, primarily cornerback. And then the last one is Mekhi Wingo. He came out of LSU as a little bit of an undersized defensive lineman, but he won. At LSU, they've got a particular jersey that every year it's a big honor to wear it. I think it's number 18. And it has to do with some former player, and it kind of means you're the man, you're the stud, you're the leader. So he wore that jersey. By the way, I know the Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell love getting guys who were like captains of their team
Yeah.
and show leadership, and that's what that is. And I do believe they picked up a guy this year in free agency who had played at LSU and also wore 18. So there you go. So I'm really eager to see where these guys are come September.
Well, John, you told me beforehand you had six guys, but here you mentioned five. Did I miss one?
You missed one. I said Dan Jackson, Giovanni Manu, Jackson Meeks, Ennis Rakestraw, Nick Whiteside, and Mekhi Wingo.
Yeah, I missed Rakestraw.
And I got another six, but I'm not going to go through those because there's a lot of interesting. Like, can you tell me who Kai Robichaud is?
I cannot.
Well, I couldn't have told you till I looked him up today. 23 years old, 6 foot, 213-pound running back out of Boston College. Joined the team last year in free agency and was hurt all year. But he's
Yeah,
still
we've
on the
talked
roster.
about the primary ability you have to have as a pro athlete is availability. And so guys that are hurt each of their first two seasons are on thin ice.
Yeah. And the Lions have had their share. Now, they've also brought in a lot of guys who have been hurt. I mean, everybody's been hurt, but guys who have come off injuries, and sometimes that works out. You know, when they drafted Williams, I'm drawing a blank on his first name. Guys, I was
Jameson.
watching Jameson Williams. You know, I was watching the Lions in the 50s, so The brain doesn't always work right, but Jameson Williams, you know, a lot of people said he might have been the number one pick in the draft the year they took him, but he was coming off a season-ending injury, and they kind of rolled the dice on him. But now, obviously, he's a stud and could be an amazing player this year. He had a great year last year. Anyhow,
Well,
Bill, we mentioned they signed their 13th, or I guess we didn't mention, they signed Chuck Clark this morning. That got announced. He's a 30-year-old, 8-year vet from played for Pittsburgh last year. He's a safety, so they're shoring up that. And I just think they've done a great job with who they brought in on 1-year deals and low salaries to come in and see what they can prove and shore up these positions, and they still have 9 draft picks coming up.
John, what are you hoping to get on their draft picks? Most people are picking a tackle, an edge, or a cornerback.
Well, for our listeners who have been listening regularly, I'm singing the same song I've been singing, tackle and edge. Not necessarily in that order, but that's to me the starting order. I want to see them turn that line into a freaking monster, that offensive line. And they have to get an edge. So I think it comes down to who's available at 17. They could take an edge or tackle, and then at pick 50, I do think they're deep in both edge and tackles this draft. So, and they could trade up and lock in a good one in both picks.
If you're if our listeners are like me, they're fans, they love the Lions, they pay attention, and yet they still don't necessarily know players from other teams. And so when we sign these guys as free agents, it's kind of shoulder shrugging time because most of us, we don't know the rosters from the Carolina Panthers or the Atlanta Falcons or the Arizona Cardinals. But it was heartening to me to see you sent me this last week from ESPN that the Lions, out of all the NFL teams, had the third highest rated free agency. So that was encouraging to me that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell know what they're doing still. It was also encouraging to me this morning to see that the Packers had the third worst free agency. So that never hurts when your primary competition, or one of them anyway, is not doing something as well as you are.
Well, Bill, it's a great point you made that the average listener doesn't know these names. I certainly, of the 13 they've added up until this year when I was really paying attention for podcasts, the only one I was familiar with was Isaiah Pacheco. I remember him running the ball very well for the Chiefs. So you're right. And the same holds for Petsing, Drew Petsing. But the more I've learned about Drew Petsing, the more excited I am to watch their offense this year. But all these guys, as I've learned about them, apart from a few of them having injuries that could really limit who they could be, I am really excited by how they're filling holes that they have in this roster. I'll give you an example. Tyler Conklin, tight end. Really, a proven veteran in this league in 8 seasons. They can bring him in, put him with the tight ends we already have and possibly still draft one and really turn that into a strong, that room into a strong room. And one more thing, Bill, I heard a expert podcaster talking about Greg Dortch, who's basically here to replace our wide receiver who went to the Browns or the Bears,
Khalif,
rather, Khalif.
Khalif Raymond.
Yeah. You know, he's hard to replace, but they think overall the Lions won out in that deal because he can step in and do really on the field what Khalif was doing. He's about, I think, 80% less money, and he's 3 years younger. It's kind of a
It was out.
win-win-win.
Well, John, it'll be interesting to see. There's still free agents out there, and we have the draft coming up. It's funny, we talk about the NFL all year long.
That's right. Well, they've been brilliant at how they've timed that out. They've been brilliant on how they've turned the combine into a spectacle and the draft into an amazing spectacle, amazing event. So, Bill, we're still in three seasons. We're at the end of free agency. Then we go into the draft, but then we go into the period of summer where players get made available. In their, practice squads where they can be poached, and free agents, there's still free agency at that time, so there's a lot left in roster building.
And if you're a Michigan sports fan, you have baseball season starting. You have the Michigan Wolverines in the Final Four and the Detroit Pistons leading the Eastern Conference. There's a lot to be happy about as a Detroit and Michigan sports fan.
Yeah, and by the way, the Michigan women's basketball just got they got trampled by Texas, but they were in it. I think that was the 16 or 8.
I think they were in the eight.
Yeah. So let's put ourselves on the spot here, Bill. We're down the final four. We got Michigan playing Arizona. We got UConn playing Illinois. Who's going to be in the final two and who's going to win it? What's your prediction?
I got Michigan and Illinois with Michigan winning.
I do too. And folks, we have not talked about this. And after
It
watching
would not
Illinois,
surprise me if it goes the other way.
well, any team can win it. I just think UConn maybe ran out of miracles against Duke, and watching Illinois, they are a load. And I just think Michigan, as good as they've been, scored 90 points in a row, 3 games in a row, won each game by double digits, but most people agree we're not even seeing them at their best right now. Arizona is going to be great, but that game could be the national championship game.
I was really impressed with the Pistons last night. They had their top five scorers were not playing. And they took Oklahoma City at Oklahoma City to overtime.
Did they win it?
No, they lost.
Well, that's still very impressive. And
Well, John, we'll do it again next week.
that's right. Well, it's always good doing this, Bill. Thank you to our listeners. If you want to go back and listen to, we got started last July right before the Hall of Fame game. Go to the shlpodcast.com. I think last week we said SHL podcast. It's the SHLpodcast.com. You can go see all of our, we've been doing this every week since July, coming up on a year there, buddy.
Okay, well, we'll see you next week, John.
All right, bye for now.